You're a guest with us today. Thank you so much for being here. We are just so grateful for the fact that you chose to join us. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, jot down some information on that card, put it in the offering plate when it comes by, or leave it on the information table, that would be such a big help to us. All right, so the rest of you, as well as our guests, might have picked up a bulletin as you came in or was handed one. So open it up. So right after our morning worship service this morning, we have Sunday school. Hope you'll join us for that. And remember, we have Sunday school for kids all the way up through adult. Tuesday night, men, is our leadership team meeting. Hopefully you have that on your calendar. That'll be here at church. Wednesday at 1:30, we have Joy Bible Study. This is open to anybody who has the time available to be able to come and join us. And we just started a study in angelology, moving towards, we just started unfaithful angels. So some people call them fallen angels. I don't like that term. I like unfaithful angels. So anyway, if you want to come and join us for that, that would be great. Thursday night is Awana. It is Stack 'em. Our kids know what that means, and so that'll be great. Saturday, ladies, there is Ladies Coffee Connection here at the church, and there's some information there about it. If you have any questions at all, see Diane. Diane, maybe give a wave so that if they don't know who you are, they can find you. We are not going to be taking pictures today for our pictorial directory because Christine is not here today. Her and Jeremy and Silas are out of town, and so they'll be back, and when she's back, we'll start picking that back up once again. Our Daily Bread devotional books, which started yesterday, are out on the information table. If you haven't picked one of those up yet, please make sure that you do. You're not that far behind. So go ahead and pick one of those up since yesterday was the first. Also, next Saturday, set your clocks ahead. We get to spring forward, okay? All right, and so you want to do that before you go to bed. If not, you could be in a world of hurt, and we don't want you to be able to do that. Also, what's that? They'll be part of the worship team, okay? Well, you know, that might not be a bad thing. We'll put them to work if they show up, all right, because they didn't turn their clocks ahead. And then next Sunday afternoon, right after the morning worship service, is our church family dinner. It is our baked annual baked potato bar, and the potatoes are going to be provided, but we still need some help. And so there's a sign-up sheet out on the information table. Still has some lines of things that we need people to sign up for. So if you haven't signed up for those, please make sure that you do. Also, if you have signed up for something, maybe stop by there today, put it in your brain that you signed up so that you can make sure that you bring it with you next week for church family dinner. I'm looking forward to that. It's always a big time. So I hope you're planning on doing that. I hope that you'll help bring some of the food for that as well. Well, this week I got a phone call. Paul Henning was back in the hospital. He's at home now, but he spent quite a bit of time last week in the hospital. And he's to the point in his health to where the doctors have given him, because of the condition of his lungs and the condition of his heart, they've given him 6 months to live. And so we need to be praying for the Henning family. Some of the family's been taking this news very well. Some of them, not so much. Now, the last thing that the Henning family needs at this time, especially Paul, is to be overwhelmed with calls. He cannot, or visits, he cannot communicate very well. It doesn't take much for him to lose his breath. And so we need to make sure that we're not doing that. If you want to communicate with them, send a card. If you want to communicate with them, send a text to Amy and just say, we're praying for you. Pastor told us, he gave me permission to tell you today of what his condition is. So let's keep the Henning family in our prayers, especially Paul. Understood? All right. Thanks so much. All right. You ready to worship? Ready to praise?
God is still good. Amen. Would y'all stand with me this morning as we take the next few minutes and sing some songs? These songs talk a lot about how awesome God is. And it's important that we remember he's awesome through the good and through the bad. So we're going to start. Our first song is called Our God, and the chorus says, our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other, Our God is healer, healer of Paul and anyone else. He is awesome in power. That's our God. That's who we're singing to today. That's who we're adoring. Father, as we come before you this morning, we lift up these songs of praise and adoration, worship of you, Lord. Would you meet us where we're at? Meet us here, Lord. Join us in this place. Help us to put aside the distractions so that we can focus on you and how amazing you are. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. No, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Oh, our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Oh, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Could stand against? God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Oh, our God.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning.
When the road runs dead, you can see a way I don't. And when it makes no sense, but you say that's what faith is for. When I see a grave, you see a promise. When I see a grave, you see a door. When I'm at my end, you see where the future starts. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. You've been good on every promise, from Eden to Zion, through every dead end and out of that grave. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. When the world's on fire, it's not like you don't have a plan. And when the earth gives way on this rock, your church will stand. Nothing has ever never once surprised you. Nothing has ever made you flinch. And when it all shakes out, the gates of hell don't stand a chance. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. You've been good on every promise, from Eden to Zion, through every dead end and out of that grave. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. You pulled my heart from Egypt. You carved a road through sea, from all our chains to endless praise. The story ends in you. And when we cross that Jordan, look back at where we've been, from all our chains to endless praise. The story ends in you. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. You've been good on every promise, from Eden to Zion, through every dead end and out of that grave. I don't know how you make a way, but I know you will. I know you will.
Lord, thank you for making a way when we see no other way. Thank you for being trustworthy, faithful. Lord, we love you.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises, as your people declare your mighty works. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore, who reigns forevermore.
As rushers prepare to take this morning's offering, we're about to sing a song called From the Inside Out. And this is the cry of my heart. This has been the cry of my heart for the longest time, that when we put Jesus in here, like it says in Ephesians, then he changes us from the inside out. We look more like him. not by human effort, but by Jesus. Lord, as we give this morning, we don't give money because the church needs it or you need it. God, we give to change our heart. We give to let go of stuff. We give to honor you. We give for your glory. So, Lord, let us not give for any other reason than that this morning. Lord, if there's any other reason, help us to put that money back in our wallet and leave it there until it's for you and you alone. Lord, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
A thousand times I fail, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart, in my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out. In my heart, in my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out.
Thank you so much, worship team. Aren't we blessed? We are just so blessed. God is so good. Even in the good, even sometimes in the not so good. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you sent off to that place called Children's Church. All right, let's pray. Father, you know, it's interesting that the world wants to change us from the outside in, but your way is to change us from the inside out. And so, Father, I pray that as we hear your word this morning, Father, I pray that it will change us from the inside out. Father, I pray that it will tell us those things you want us to be able to know, that we might be able to put those into practice into our lives, so that those around us will be able to see that you have changed us from the inside out. That's our prayer this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go have a good time. Turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 5. Some time ago, a fictitious manual for the Peace Corps, those who volunteer on assignment in South America, was given this following advice on what to do if attacked by an anaconda. Step number one, if you're attacked by an anaconda, do not run. The snake is faster than you are. Step number two, lie flat on the ground. I'd still be running. Step number three, put your arms tight at your sides and your legs tight against one another. Step number four, the snake will begin to climb over your body. Step number five, do not panic. Step number six, the snake will begin to swallow you from the feet in. Step number six, this is going to take a long time. Step number eight, after a while, slowly and with as little movement as possible, reach down, take your knife, and very gently slide it into the snake's mouth. Then subtly sever the snake's head. Step number nine, make sure your knife is sharp. Step number 10, make sure you have your knife. Okay. Now, even though this may seem humorous, these instructions make a good point. Be prepared. Now, we probably don't ever have to worry about an anaconda attack, but there's another snake that seeks to devour you every day. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but your adversary, the devil, is prowling about, seeking to whom he may devour. It's that old serpent, the devil, who wants to take you down every chance he gets. God's word goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We are engaged in a spiritual battle. Those of us who are believers in what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we are in a battle. So how do we prepare for that battle? How do we get ready to fight the devil and his comrades? How do we strengthen ourselves to take on the unseen forces of evil? Well, here in Joshua chapter 5, we can learn some lessons from the Israelites as they prepared for battle against an enemy. Hopefully by now you've found chapter 5 of the book of Joshua. Follow along as I read verse 1. As soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over, their hearts melted and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. Now God used his power and his might in parting the Jordan River, and this demoralized the enemy. It was shock and awe. It tells us when the Amorites heard this, when the Canaanites heard this, they were melted in their spirit. You know what that means? They were very afraid. It's like, whoa, we've never heard this before. We've never seen this before. It was shock and awe, bringing about the best time for Israel to attack. These enemies, the Amorites, the Canaanites, they're melted, they're afraid, they're fearful, they're disorganized, they don't know what to do, they're in panic mode. What a great opportunity for the Israelites to be able to go in and overtake them. Look at verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. What? I'm sure that Joshua and I'm sure that the nation of Israel was waiting for God to say, go get them now. They're vulnerable. They're weak. Go get them. No, that wasn't God's plan. What did he say? Make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. God, do you know what you're doing? Hey, did we just sing songs about the fact that God knows what he's doing, that God is greater, God is almighty, God is powerful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. So look at verse 3. So Joshua didn't argue with God. He didn't negotiate. He didn't bargain. That's what Pastor Sam would have done. But Joshua says, so Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. Wait a minute. What's going on? Instead of attacking when victory is assured, God instructs all the men and soldiers to be circumcised. Now, there's a whole lot that could be said about this. There's a whole lot of jokes that could be made, a whole lot of one-liners. I'm not going to skip that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to skip that this morning. But I'm going to say, ouch. This is going to take several days to heal. And it's going to incapacitate Israel's entire army. Joshua's army is making themselves very vulnerable. Why? This doesn't make any sense. This is not logical on a human level. But it's perfectly logical in a spiritual level. It's perfectly logical as it fits into God's purpose and plan. I'm going to pick it up in verse 4, and I'm going to read down through verse 7. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the males of the people who came out of Egypt, all of the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way in the wilderness after they had come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was their children whom he raised up in their place that Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. God said, listen, before you go in to do battle, you've got to take care of some things. You've got to make sure everything is in its right order. Everything is done according to my directions, my instructions. Joshua circumcised his soldiers because they had not been circumcised when they were 8 days old, as required in God's covenant to Abraham, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 17. An entire generation of male Israelites had missed that. Those who were born in Egypt had been circumcised, but their sons, born in the wilderness, were not. Now, circumcision, what's the big deal? Circumcision, so what? Why is this important? Circumcision was very important to the Israelites because it was the sign of guarantee that God gave them that he would keep his promise of the land of many descendants, and that through them all the nations of the world would be blessed. Circumcision was God's signature, God's proof that he would do what he said. This is why, and that is why, Joshua's soldiers did this on this day. They were circumcised so they could move forward into battle with their confidence in God. Look at verses 8 and 9. When the circumcising of the whole nation was finished, they remained there in their places in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. Now that means to the day of this writing. Okay. God rolled away Egypt's scorn and Egypt's insults. Remember when Moses and Aaron were coming before Pharaoh, and they were saying, God wants you to let his people go. And Pharaoh kept saying, nope. And they said, no, you don't understand. God wants us to leave this place. And Pharaoh said, why does God want you to leave this place? So you'll die out there in the wilderness? So you'll die out there away from Egypt? And so God was rolling away, was taking away the scorn and Egypt's insults that they were going to perish in the wilderness, which they almost did. 40 years before this, their fathers refused to go into the land because they were afraid of the giants in the land. Remember that? Moses had sent 12 spies back into the land of Canaan. And they were there for a little while, and they came back. And 10 of them said, "We can't do this. There's too many giants in the land. There's too many obstacles in the way. There's no way that we could ever pull this off." But there was two who said, "You know what? God's given us that land. God promised that land to our father Abraham. We can take it. We can do it." 10 versus 2. Who did the people listen to? The 10. And God said, "Okay, you're not going to do it my way? You're going to do it my way." So for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. Now, God took care of them while they were in the wilderness. He provided food for them. In the morning, he gave them manna. In the evening, he gave them quail. It also tells us that for those 40 years, their shoes never wore out and their clothes never wore out. What? How many of you have clothes and shoes in your closets that are 40 years old? Don't raise your hand. I really don't want to know. Okay? All right. I'm amazed that you could even remember that they're 40 years old. God did this, okay? They didn't trust God's promise when they went into to the walled cities of Jericho, went to the land of Canaan. They didn't trust God. So God made them wander for 40 years in the wilderness until that generation died off. But God preserved the next generation to go back into the land he promised to give them, called the land of Canaan. And when they entered that land, remember they'd already crossed over at this point across the river Jordan. When they entered that land, God rolled away their shame. God rolled away the insults of the Egyptians as pictured in the action of circumcision. It was absolutely necessary for God to do this. It was absolutely necessary for God to do this for the Israelites' preparation for battle. And guess what? It's absolutely necessary for you as well. As you prepare to battle the unseen forces of evil and unrighteousness. Now here in Joshua chapter 5, there are steps that must be taken to prepare us for the spiritual battle. Here's step number one. Have God take away your shame. Have God take away your shame. ESPN's documentary, The Four Falls of Buffalo, tells us the story of the Buffalo Bills' four consecutive Super Bowl losses in 1990, 1991, 1992, and 1993. In their 1990 Super Bowl appearance against the New York Giants, field goal kicker Scott Norwood experienced the greatest shame. With 8 seconds left in the game, Norwood missed a 47-yard field goal, which would have given the Buffalo Bills the win. 20 years later, Norwood still felt the pain of that missed field goal. In 2010, ESPN asked him what feeling he had that day. Norwood responded, "Sorrow, I guess, and disappointment in letting down the teammates that are there on the field of battle with you. I get choked up thinking about it, putting myself back in that situation." However, nothing prepared Scott Norwood for the greeting he would receive in Buffalo the next week after that 1990 Super Bowl. Nearly 30,000 screaming fans met Norwood and his teammates in Buffalo after that loss. Many of them chanted and screamed, "We want Scott, we want Scott." And here's how Norwood described the scene. He says, "We got back to town and I did not know what to expect. What I really wanted to do was just remain behind the scenes. But there was a chant that intensified. I was not expecting to be called to the front like that. I had to speak off the top of my head. I think in a sense, that's when the truest feelings arise." And the documentary shows Scott with mic in hand telling the crowd, "I know that I have never felt more loved than I do right now. Expecting condemnation, Norwood found a small taste of amazing grace." Scott Norwood would return the following year to help win the AFC title against Denver after a successful 44-yard kick. And Bruce DeHaven, the Bills' special teams coach, would later on name his adopted son after Scott Norwood. This experience of grace helped Scott Norwood roll away the shame of the past and roar into the future with confidence. You too can experience that same grace from God, no matter what your life was like in the past, no matter what your life is like in the present. With your faith in God, let him roll away your shame. It is one of the ways you will be prepared for the spiritual battles ahead. Here's step number two. Appreciate the goodness of God. Appreciate the benefits of God's grace and provision. Appreciate the goodness of God in your life. That is what the Israelites did after God rolled away their shame, now that they have returned to the promised land. Do you think that while these Israelite men who knew that battle was imminent, but now they're in pain, now they're healing, do you think they just sat around and said, woe is me? No, I think they sat around and said, God is good. God is good. Because I'm going to be the stronger for going through this. I'm going to be tougher for going through this. And God is going to use that strength. God is going to use that toughness to be able to what? Help us overcome the enemies, like he's already told us we need to do. Look at verses 10 through 12. Still in chapter 5. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept a Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. Let me just stop there for a moment. What is Passover all about? Remembering their deliverance. Remembering their deliverance from what? Egypt. Remembering their deliverance from their slavery to the Egyptians. Their 430 years of slavery within the nation of Egypt. Passover was given to them to remember that God delivered them from that. Remember in our study of the book of Exodus? God had told the Israelites, okay, listen, I've had enough of sending plagues. Here's the last one that's coming. Here's what I want you to do. And anybody else who follows your lead, they'll experience the same help. I want you to take a lamb, not just any lamb, but a perfect lamb. I want you to kill that lamb. I want you to shed its blood. Then I want you to take that blood and I want you to put it on the doorposts of your homes and put it over the top part of your doorframe on your homes. And then when I pass through the land of Egypt and I see the blood, I will pass over you and death will not come to that home. A lot of Egyptians, they didn't do that. Pharaoh himself, they didn't do that. And when God passed through the land of Egypt, what happened? Death came. Death came. Except to the land of Goshen, where the Israelites lived. Wow. So Passover was an opportunity for them to remember what? The goodness of God. And when you and I find ourselves preparing for a spiritual battle or in the midst of a spiritual battle, we need to not focus on the battle. We need to focus on the goodness of God. We need to appreciate what it is that God has done for every single one of us in the past. What he's doing for us in the present and what we know based upon the promises of his word, what he's going to do for us in the future. That's what the Israelites were doing. They were taking the opportunity to be able to do that. I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to go back and read verse 10 again. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept a Passover on the 14th day of the month and in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. That parched grain is roasted corn. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. They remembered the deliverance from Egypt and appreciated the fruit of the land. God had provided for manna for 40 years, and now he provides the rich produce of this land of Canaan, his promised land. And the Israelites are what? Enjoying it. You realize this is the best meal that they've had in 40 years? They're appreciating the goodness of God. They're appreciating the benefits of God's grace and provision right before their first battle. And that's what you must do if you're going to be ready for the spiritual battles you face. Appreciate the goodness of God and His generosity as you face those battles. You know, it's interesting that the end of Ephesians, as I've already talked about, talks about spiritual warfare. But the beginning of Ephesians identifies, get this, our spiritual blessings. Before God tells us to stand against the schemes of the devil in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, He reminds us that God has blessed us with every special spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So what does that mean? That means our focus isn't on the battle. Our focus isn't on who we're doing the battle against. Our focus is on the spiritual blessings that God has given to us because of His goodness, because of His choosing to give us His benefits. So here's what we need to do. We need to stop occasionally, at least once every day, and reflect on how much God has blessed you. Then appreciate those blessings and give God praise and thanks for what He has done for you. You know, there's a great old hymn that we sing from time to time. It's called Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Focus isn't on the battle. Our focus isn't on the evil forces. Our focus is on the goodness of God, the blessings that He gives to us. Here's step number three. Give God reverence. Devote yourself to Jesus the King. Oh, wait. Did we sing some songs about that this morning? I think so. We said what? We sang what? That we wanted Him to have what? Control. You can't give Him control if you're not devoted to Him. He either has control or He doesn't. 90% of your life doesn't count. If He only has control of 90% of you, it doesn't count. He wants 100%. He deserves 100% because He gave 100% as He went to that cross to pay for your sin. Worship the commander of the Lord's army. This is what Joshua does before he leads the Israelites into battle against the city of Jericho. Now Joshua goes out to scout out the battlefield, and there he meets a strange man with a drawn sword. Look at verse 13. I'm going to read down through verse 15. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord, and now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." Four important words end this chapter. And Joshua did so. And Joshua did so. Joshua, the commander of Israel's army, reverences the commander of the Lord's army. Joshua did so because he realizes he is standing in the presence of Jehovah. This is the God who asked Moses to remove his sandals over 40 years previously at the burning bush. This commander is Jesus. This is the one who Joshua reverences, in whose presence Joshua removes his shoes. Now, this word reverence, especially in the Hebrew, this word fear, which means reverence in the Hebrew, means not bringing God down to that which is common, but keeping God in His proper place, which is to be lifted up, which is to be praised, which is to be worshiped, which is to be honored. And I'm so thankful that we have a worship leader I'm so thankful that we have a worship team that every single week reminds us, this isn't about us. This is about Him. This is about God. This is about Jesus. This is about the Lord. We're here to honor. We're here to lift Him up. We're here to give Him the glory and the honor and the praise. I'm so thankful that every week we can come and we can reverence God. Because I'm here to tell you, we live in a society today. We live in a country today. We're bombarded 6 days a week on all of the things that keep us from reverencing God. We need a day. We need a morning where we can be reminded to keep God in His proper place, to reverence Him. Notice that this commander of the Lord's army didn't have to remind Joshua who he was. Joshua took one look, heard his words, and said, I worship You. I'm reverencing You. He reverences Jesus the King, and that's what we must do before we fight these battles. We need to reverence the commander of the Lord's army for who He is, Jehovah God. You see, you can't do it in your own strength. I can't do it in my own strength. We need God's strength. We need to reverence Him. We need to follow these steps that are outlined for us, I believe, here in Joshua chapter 5. So as you leave this place in just a little bit, I want you to remember some things. God chooses to use ordinary people. You might have been sitting here through this sermon and maybe even some of the other sermons since we started our study in the book of Joshua, and you might be saying, I'm no Joshua. You know, you're what? You're right. Because God didn't create you to be another Joshua. You're who God created you to be. But God can use you. God will use you if you reverence Him. God will use you if you appreciate and remember the goodness and the benefits and the blessings that He has given to you. God will use you if you let Him take away the shame of your past. And if necessary, even the shame of your present. God chooses to use ordinary people. Nobody knows that more than I do. I'm just an ordinary person whom God has blessed to be able to use, to be able to communicate His word, to be able to minister to a church family. I'm nothing special. And God uses me anyway. Isn't that good? And God wants to use you. God desires that our strength, our spiritual strength, remains strong. He weakened the army of Israel before He sent them out to do battle, so that they would understand what? It's not their strength that won the battle. It's not their strength that brought the victory. It's His. It's His. And we need to be reminded of that this morning as well. And here's the third thing. Victory is closer than you can imagine. Victory is closer than you can imagine. You need to be here next week when we talk about what God does through the nation of Israel to the city of Jericho. God gets the victory. Because no matter what it is you're going through, no matter who it is that you are, victory is closer than you imagine. Father, we're so grateful that You bring the victory. Father, sometimes You have to weaken us before we go into the battle so that we understand that that battle wasn't won because of our strength. It was won because only You gave us that strength. And Father, help us to remember that we don't have to be spiritual giants to be able to see You win the victory in us and through us. We just have to be willing to give you control of our lives. We need to give you reverence. We need to appreciate the goodness of God, and we need to let you roll away the shame of our past and maybe even our present, because victory is closer than we can imagine, because you are always near us and with us and close to us. So, Father, make us the warriors that you desire for us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for our last song? When our warring days are over, there's coming a day when no more heartaches shall come.
There is coming a day when no heartaches shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
We'll see you at Sunday school in about 15 minutes.